Our sermon title for this morning was Hope Beyond Hope. I believe the text is up on the screen, so we have the benefit of being able to read it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, let's read it. The first two verses. And there shall come forth a root out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearing of his holy word. I want to say, first of all, that the book of Isaiah is a prophetic passage of scripture where Isaiah prophesizes about the coming Messiah. Can we bring, thank you. So the book of Isaiah is prophesizing about the coming Messiah. Also, his prophecy is about the Babylonian captivity, which hasn't happened yet. But the nation of Israel is caught up in spiritual, they are in rebellion, and spiritual wickedness. And so the Lord has declared that he would punish them. And the way he punished them was they were led away in captivity by the Babylonians. Likewise, Israel would have only a remnant left after God finished judging her. Now he pictured a shoot sprouting from one of the stumps left after Israel was cut down like a forest to a tree stump. And it says that a shoot would sprout from Jesse's family tree stump. Right. Now, first of all, I just want to say a remnant. You know, we can get a good picture of a remnant, if we look around us at this church. God can use a remnant of believers.
Right.
We are still here, carrying on after our late pastor, James A. Brooks I, and many others that have led the way for us, that are no longer with us. But we're still here, still believing, and still serving the Lord. And God can use us. Just because we're a small number don't mean that we can't worship the Lord, that we can't serve the Lord,
right,
and that we can't carry on the work that's been left to us.
Right.
Just a remnant survived. By using this imagery, the chopped tree, to describe Jesse, the author relates to the judgment. God is a righteous God. He always allows the rain to fall on the just as well as the unjust. Here we see God's judge his chosen people for their wickedness. This prophecy is more easily understood in light of near and far fulfillment. The near fulfillment is the Babylonian Empire would take them into captivity for their sins. We know this happened when we read the book of Jeremiah, and Israel is carried away. Then Isaiah tells us that the Savior will come through the line of Jesse. Jesse was David's father. Not much is said about Jesse in the Bible, so we don't know that much about him. The house of David was reduced and brought very low at that time of Christ's birth. Witness the obscurity and poverty of Joseph and Mary. The Messiah was thus to begin his estate of humiliation for submitting to which he should be highly exalted and would thus give earthly notice that his kingdom was not of this world. And we know that when Pilate asked him if he was a king, he told Pilate that my kingdom is not of this world. There shall come forth a king from the sons of Jesse, and the Messiah, or Christ, shall be anointed out of the sons, his son's son. I know that we are a very small church. We are just a remnant. The scientists say that our planet is being threatened by global warming. The governments say that we face a threat of war on a global scale. While everybody say this is the season to be jolly, accented by a glass of cheer, I say this is the season of hope. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. God will quiet you with his peace, comfort you with his presence, and bless you with his love. With the impeachment process and all that's going on in the world, it can be depressing. Psalms 42:11 says this, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God." There is a hope that is beyond what this world has to offer. Amen. Hope beyond hope. Hope beyond what we have in the bank accounts. Hope beyond our jobs. Hope right. beyond our government. Right. Hope beyond our hope. Peace beyond peace. Peace beyond the peace that this world have to offer. Judge beyond the judges of this world. I'm talking to you today beyond the hope that President Donald J. Trump has to offer. You have a hope greater than the Senate or the Congress has to offer. A hope and a peace beyond this world. In this passage of scripture, it's a prophetic statement being made that a Messiah would come. Now, we know that this has already been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. The stem, the branch shall grow out of his roots. The branch refers to Jesus Christ. In the prophecy, in Zechariah, the prophecy 6:12 says this, "Speak to him saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, saying, behold, a man whose name is the branch, capital B-R-A-N-C-H, All right. From his place he shall branch out, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Yes, he shall build the temple of the Lord. He shall bear the glory and sit and rule on his throne. He shall be a priest on his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both. Eight facts given about Messiah. He will come from Israel. He will build the millennial temple. He will be glorious. He will be both king and priest. He makes peace. He opens the kingdom to the Gentiles. He will collaborate God's word. And number eight, he demands obedience. This is always the essential matter. After Israel believes the Messiah will come to set up his kingdom, faith and cleansing must come first. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. I'm sorry. This is Isaiah. I want to read the entire portion of scripture, because it's Alistair Begg that says the plain things are the main things. And so what the scripture plainly says is what it mainly says. And I think that this portion of scripture will minister to us by itself. Even though I will be further commenting on it, I'd want to read it in its entirety. Therefore, there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of its roots, out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge of the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek. And the earth he shall strike, the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with his breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion, and the fatling together, and the little shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand into the viper's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a banner to the people. The Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. Another verse to support the branch is Isaiah 4 and 2, which reads, "In that day the branch of the Lord shall be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and appealing for those of Israel who have escaped." We find a lot of references to the Lord Jesus Christ in the book of Isaiah. These verses, in my opinion, proves that the scriptures are accurate, and they're without denial that they are accurate to a fault. At one time, non-believers challenged the scriptures as being unable to be collaborated until they found the Dead Sea Scrolls. And the book of Isaiah was in the Dead Sea Scrolls. And we have to understand that this is so accurate in accounting for Jesus being the Lord. And this scripture is, this passage of scripture is about Jesus Christ. Make no doubt about it. The second verse says, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of fear of the Lord. Just so we are clear that this passage is referring to Jesus, John 1 and 32 says, and John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove and remained upon him. Matthew Henry account, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Holy Spirit in all his gifts and graces shall not only come, but rest and abide. He shall have the Spirit not in measure, but without measure. The fullness of the Godhead dwelling in him. He began his preaching with this, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. In particular, the Spirit of the government by which he should be well fitted for the judgment which the Father has committed to him and given him authority to execute. I worked for a man, an Israeli Jew, and he told me that he had dual citizenship, that he was still a citizen of Israel while having a citizenship here in the United States. Well, likewise, as believers, we have a dual citizenship.
Right, right, right.
A citizenship here, mm-hmm. But we also have a citizenship in heaven.
Right, right.
We have a citizenship with a government unlike any other government here on this earth. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by nor decide by the hearing of his ears. No one will be able to pull the wool over his eyes. As I look back over the last few years, with the trial for the murder of Trayvon Martin, the death of the black man at the hands of the New York NYPD, saying, I can't breathe, the injustices that have been suffered, we don't have to look back in the past, we can look at today, at the American justice system and the injustices that we have suffered as a people. There's a higher court. These people will have to answer, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, meaning he's not going to be a respecter of persons. It don't matter if your grandfather is a judge, a circuit judge, a retired circuit judge. It don't matter what the color of your skin is. He won't be judging by the sight of your eyes. You won't be judging by the position that you hold. He shall not decide by the hearing of his ears. You know, as I watched the impeachment hearings, I had a hard time listening to all the tricky words that was being used. Mm-hmm. They said, God knows the heart.
Right. Right.
Tricky speech won't deceive him. Mm-hmm. With righteousness, he shall judge the poor. To the homeless, the refugee, those in prison, the outcast, he will judge with righteousness. Right. You want to know what our government view, how do our government view the homeless? They view them as a problem. How they view people that seeking asylum? A problem. How they view refugees running for their lives from bombs falling all around them and war going on, tanks and gunfire? Our government view them as a problem. Right. Those that have been cast into prison, a problem. the outcast or problem. Remember the words that Jesus said? As you do unto the least of these, you do unto me also. Jesus, the righteous judge, sees human beings. Let us look upon the less fortunate as human beings. Right. Whenever I engage with people, I ask them what their names are. Look them in the eyes and take time to listen. Because I always know that whatever I do, it's never going to be enough. Let me give an example. When I give something to a homeless person, rather great or small, when it's all said and done, they're still going to be homeless. You know, we might be able to lift their spirits. We might be able to help them to have something to eat for that day. But only God is going to be able to solve these problems. The Bible says that the wolf shall dwell with the lamb. The leper shall lie down with the young goat. I keep hearing politicians promising peace. Trump promised that he was going to make peace with North Korea. They had meetings and they had these talks and they gave each other all these wonderful compliments. You know, when it says that the leper shall lie down with the young goat, that's the hunter lying down with the prey. That's a peace that only God can offer. It says that the wolf shall dwell with the lamb. You know, that's why the Bible talks about the shepherd protecting the sheep from the wolf. See, this is a far fulfillment of prophecy. Just to make the scripture more clear, this hasn't happened yet. Because we know all around us there's danger. But it even goes on to say that the nursing child shall play at the cobra's hole, the most dangerous and poisonous snake in the world. Won't be a threat to a small child. That's real peace. Right. That's a peace that our government can't offer us. Right. Right. That's a peace that only God can promise. You want to know what this government is good for? Well, I'm gonna tell you. There's a true answer to this now. You want to know what this government is good for? When they done with, we're gonna be praying for Jesus to come back. We're gonna be praying, Lord, come quickly. Because I find myself praying every day when I see these group of people that have no idea what peace is. They can't even get together peacefully right. And sit down at the table together.
Right.
So how can they offer a peace?
Right.
Because they don't have any answers. But you know, we have a hope that's beyond all this mess that's going on today in this world.
Right.
And I'm reminded of many years ago at Christmas, watching the news, and the Vietnam War was, and the news was that it was a ceasefire in Vietnam at Christmas time. Going down the streets of Los Angeles and all the stores was closed and seeing banners and wreaths saying, "'Tis the season of hope." Seeing all of the lights that's put up at Christmas time. And it was cold like it is now. And experiencing hope. You know, we have to look beyond who's in the seats of this church. We need to look beyond what's in this church's bank account. We need to understand that the church has been going on for thousands of years before we even got here. God has been able to keep his church, and he could keep us. There's a hope beyond what we see and what we think, even what we think. Hope is to look forward to with certainty. The biblical meaning, it's not the wishy-washy hope that the world says that I hope this is going to happen, I hope that's going to happen. But hope is to look forward to with certainty, knowing that God is able. And God has brought us this far. He didn't bring us this far just to leave us.
Right.
You know, and we have a purpose here. We have a purpose to bring this church to the next generation. Each and every one of us. You know, when I know I'm coming here, I'm coming to my church. I'm coming to praise my God. I'm coming to worship my God. And I have this hope. I have this hope that, you know what, sometimes I'm smiling. I got every reason in the world not to be sad. But you know what, I have a joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Because I know, and I believe it within my heart, that they drug him from judgment hall to judgment hall. They found him to be innocent, but yet they cried to crucify him. Pilate, not wanting to have the blood of an innocent man on his hands, asked the Jews for release. But they cried for Barabbas, a murderer and a thief. And so he scourged him, hoping that they would have pity on him. And yet they cried, crucify him. And so my Lord carried his cross to a hill called Golgotha, where they nailed him in his hands and they nailed him in his feet. He died between two thieves. They placed him in a borrowed tomb. But early Sunday morning, rose up.
Right.
He rose up with victory in his hand. And just like Judah was cut down to a stump, by the way, which is the line in which Jesus came through the tribe of Judah, just the same way they buried him in the tomb and the devil thought it was over with. But Jesus rose up in victory. Amen. And for that, I could say during this season, we have a hope beyond everything this world has to offer.
Amen. Amen. Amen.